The most merciful thing in the world, I think, is the inability of the human mind to correlate all its contents. We live on a placid island of ignorance in the midst of black seas of infinity, and it was not meant that we should voyage far. The sciences, each training in its own direction, have hitherto harmed us little. But someday, the piecing together of disassociated knowledge will open up such terrifying vistas of reality and of our frightful position therein, that we shall either go mad from the revelation or flee from the light into the peace and safety of a new dark age. H.P. Lovecraft, The Call of Cthulhu. Roland Nerdy Podcast presents Mask of Nyarlathotep, a 7th edition Call of Cthulhu campaign. Hello and welcome to Roland Nerdy, a tabletop gaming podcast. We're playing Call of Cthulhu, yay. Mask of Nyarlathotep, or however you say that word. And who's here? We'll start over here on this side with you. Who are you? I'm looking at you.
Hi, me. I'm Tammy.
Okay. And we have a couple of new guys. And you are?
I'm Joe. Hello.
And?
Hi, I'm Derek.
And we've already lost a player. That's the way you start a Call of Cthulhu campaign.
It's brutal.
Losing somebody before you even start. But he will be with us the next time. So we're playing Masks of I thought I had his name down. Masks of Nyarlathotep, however you say it. And we are playing the prologue chapter, in case you're interested and you're doing the full campaign. And you all start wherever you are, which is where?
I guess, Duluth.
You're in Duluth, Minnesota. And you other two are?
New York. In the Big Apple, in the Roaring Twenties. Place to be.
Kind of secluded.
That's right. No clue about what's coming at the end of the decade.
And you all see an interesting newspaper article. I give you this one since it's upside down to you. In the New York Times for you two New York guys. And I actually looked it up. It's the Duluth Evening Herald for you.
Fine publication.
So someone want to read this article that you came across to us?
Sure.
Someone read.
Search for ancient pyramid in Peru. Explorer plans expedition to discover site of lost civilization, Lima, January 12th. Explorer Augustus Larkin is planning an expedition to the southern highlands of Peru, where he hopes to identify the site of a pyramid long forgotten by history. Following the discovery of a number of gold artifacts in the region, Larkin believes that he has found evidence that will lead him to their source. He is currently in Lima, planning the expedition, and is recruiting companions and possible backers.
And you all, for whatever your personal reasons are, decide that this seems like something you might be interested in, so you get in contact with this Augustus Larkin gentleman, and you get this telegram back in a few days. Someone want to read the telegram?
Trans-Pacific Telegraphy. Thank you for joining the expedition. Stop. Please join me in Lima. Stop. Have booked you room at Hotel Mari. Stop. Meet 18 March at 7 p.m. at Bar Cordano. Jurán Ancas, 202 Distrito de Lima. Stop. Augustus Larkin.
So you all book a steamer. Virginia, you probably are going to have to take a train to New York to get a steamer to Peru.
Well, actually...
Or down the Mississippi.
Great Lakes go all the way to the ocean.
That's true.
Oh, okay. You
could take the Saint Lawrence.
Okay.
Could take the Saint Lawrence Seaway.
But you all make your way to Peru. There's a map of Peru.
Hello, Peru.
And
perusing.
Peru. Picture of kind of what Lima looked like in the '20s there. And you check into the Hotel Mari and make your way to the Bar Cordano. And I assume that you two guys are together?
Yep. Yeah.
So you enter the bar. The
Gotta get a picture of the inside here somewhere. Actually, the Bar Cardano is a real place, and it still exists in Lima, which is interesting. All these are real places. You enter, and you don't see this part, but there is actually a bar. Actually, I guess you do see the bar. You see the bar, and there are tables. There's like a maitre d' at the door. You two come in. We'll bring you in later. Maitre d' says, in Spanish, something. Can either of you speak Spanish?
No hablo español.
Nope.
Oh, I see. Would you like to sit at the bar or a table?
I'm comfortable bellying up to the bar, if that's okay with you.
Yeah.
All right. Since you're now here, Hampton, tell us about your character as he enters the bar.
Well, my character, Hampton Pep Pepin, he is rugged, muscular, though there is a certain frailness underlying it all. he is an author, an aspiring author and writer. Been an aspiring author for a long time. Now he's in his early 40s. And he mainly writes serial stories for the pulp magazine paper, Strange But True. And he started out with a career as a boxer, but that didn't work out too well. Found out he had a glass jaw.
And who is this that came into the bar with you?
Well, that's my friend Gus, and I'll let him tell you a little bit about himself.
Gus is, he was a sergeant in the Great War. He came out of the war and found that he always, of course, in the trenches, if you had a book, you were fortunate. And he got his hands on all the books that he could. He's not the sharpest tool in the shed, but he tries to keep the equipment working. So he likes his reading. He ended up being a book editor. After the war, he moved to New York, where he met Pep, and they kind of became buddies and were actually sparring partners for a while. Usually, Pep would kick Gus's butt, but what he found out was that if he could get a couple of punches in, Pep was going to hit the canvas. So
real quick.
Yeah. But Gus is, he's pretty well convinced all the terrible things he saw in the war all came from new science. So he's hopeful that science can also be harnessed for good rather than evil.
All right, these two gentlemen step up to the bar. The bartender, he heard you speaking to the maitre d', so he speaks in kind of broken English. What can I get for you, gentlemen?
Cerveza.
Cerveza, very good. And you, sir?
I look at the bartender and I say, what he said times two, and I've got the first round.
Okay, and he brings you whatever the local brew is, and a young lady enters the bar. You see two gentlemen sitting at the bar. There's a maitre d', and a couple of people sitting around in the restaurant section. Where do you go, to the bar or to the maitre d'?
I'll go to the bar.
Okay. And tell us about your character as she enters.
I'm Virginia Welsh. I am from Duluth, Minnesota.
It's a very good Minnesota accent you're doing there.
Oh, thank you. I don't really believe in much, except for I really hate Al Capone.
It's a very odd characteristic, but okay.
I always have my pet rat Scabbers with me. He hangs out in my pouch. Got my fanny pack here.
Okay. Well, the bartender sees you, a young white lady, and makes the assumption that you don't speak Spanish, so he asks you in English. Yes, ma'am. How can I help you?
Una leche, por favor.
Ah, Espanol. So he gets you, is that
it's
milk? And then he's like, what? Okay, whatever. He gives you a milk. And you see two gentlemen sitting at the other end of the bar, having beers, cervezas.
Yeah, I don't
want to
be.
And the maitre d' steps up to the bar, kind of between you, so you can all hear, and he says, excuse me, are you the Larkin party?
Yes.
Indeed, yes. We are.
If you will, bring your drinks and come this way, please.
Grab my glass of milk. Mosey on across the floor.
I don't even dare trying down my drinks.
So he takes you into the restaurant section, and you see three gentlemen sitting together. They look kind of like that. One of them is a white man with kind of dirty blonde hair. Everybody do a hard spot hidden roll.
What am I rolling for spot hidden?
You roll percentage. And what is your spot hidden?
Probably like nothing.
It's going to be that base.
Yeah, it's the base. Yeah.
All right. Huh? 10%. Okay, roll the other one. If you roll a zero, then you made it.
20.
Okay, you did not make it. So no one made it.
No.
All right, seated with him is a man who appears to be of Hispanic descent, kind of young. He's sitting kind of with his arms crossed, sitting back in his chair. And then you also see a black gentleman dressed in tweed and wearing a, what kind of hat is that?
Maybe a fedora?
Yeah, a fedora, that's it. Fedora. Wearing a fedora and smoking a pipe. And the white gentleman stands up and says, "Lady and gentlemen," and he kind of coughs a little bit, please come sit. The black gentleman stands. When the lady comes, the other Hispanic gentleman continues to sit with his arms crossed. "I am Augustus Larkin, and you are..."
"Virginia Welch."
Pepin.
"Yes, Franklin."
This is my associate, Luis de Mendoza. He is my assistant. And this gentleman is Jesse Hughes. He has also agreed to join our expedition. Please, sit. I see you already have a drink. Order food. They have great escabeche here, which is sweet and sour fish, I guess. Order whatever you would like. Please.
Well,
sit.
I sit. Gracias.
And order food.
Absolutely.
Yes, I will power eat in front of this man. Bring me some meatballs.
All right, as you're eating, give me a psychology roll, everybody.
Am I rolling percent dice again?
Yes.
I'm going to ask you. So,
what is your psychology number?
45.
And what did you roll?
20.
Okay, so you made it. All right, there seems to be some tension between De Mendoza and Jesse Hughes. You notice that De Mendoza continues throughout while you're eating, staring at Jesse Hughes, and appears to be quite angry. He has not spoken since you've been here either. He just sits with his arms crossed, glaring at Mr. Hughes.
Is he eating?
No, he's not. He does have a plate in front of him. You're not sure if he ate before you arrived or not.
Okay.
We don't know if the plate is empty or not. That's crazy. Our perception is so bad.
No, you don't know if he ate before you got here. The plate is empty, yes.
Okay.
I thought that was... Never mind.
So he says, this would be Mr. Hughes. So, what interested you in this expedition, Mr. Franklin?
Well... My friend Pep over there and I work for a publication that has an interest in various strange but seemingly...
Excuse me for one second. I just remembered something. You two give me a no roll, which is education.
I got one.
Okay.
Yeah, I got a 38.
You made it also?
Yeah.
I should have done this earlier. I'm sorry. As soon as you walk in the room, you know that guy.
Oh.
You've seen him at your newspaper. His name is Jackson Elias, and he's an author.
Oh.
So he has told you another name for this person, but you know that's not who he is.
Before, which person do we know is Jackson Lyons?
Is it the angry
black
Jesse?
The black gentleman, okay. Jesse Hughes, yes.
Okay, the one that's smoking.
Yes. So because of where you work, the nature of his books, he writes books about death cults. So as soon as you see him, you're like, I know that guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Does
he know us? Does he seem to know us, or do we know that he knows us?
Let me give him a roll. No. For some reason, he does not know who you are.
Well, his fame exceeds ours.
Yeah. Lowly author such as myself.
Yeah, you know that he's had several best-selling books about
and
cults.
What is the name he's going by again?
Jesse Hughes.
Jesse Hughes.
So Jesse Hughes
is
Pep
really...
and I know him to actually be Jackson Elias. Jackson Elias is someone who Pep would like to be and someone who Gus would love to represent.
Right.
exactly.
Okay.
So I should have told you that a little earlier because that change your reactions to him. So did he ask you the question about why did you come on this?
So we explained, well, our publication, Strange but True, is interested in all sorts of,
Okay, he has a reaction when you say that, Strange but True. You see he kind of sits back and his eyes get a little big and he's like, he's got a pipe and he's like, smoking his pipe a little harder now.
He's going to get a bonus to his next
And as he continues about that, we write for it. I said, we thought this would make, we could help you on your expedition, but it would also give us something to write about, you know, as write about the expedition and publish it in our newspaper / magazine.
You scratch our back.
Yeah, very good. But just to be clear, I am just on this expedition as you are. This is Mr. Larkin's expedition.
Right. Then we're speaking to Mr.
Larkin. Oh, okay.
Yes.
But Jesse's the one who asked you the question. So
yeah.
Wanted to make sure that, the reason that I brought you here is I bought some interesting items from an alpaca farmer near Puno. He claims that his, by the way, he's speaking weakly and coughing continuously, claims that his grandfather recovered them from tunnels beneath the pyramid high in the mountains. And he pulls out a pendant. That is appears to be gold. It appears to be a man holding two rods or staves, embellished with rectangular shapes. The other item is a golden cup inlaid with turquoise. Anyone who has archaeology can do an archaeology roll. I guess everyone has archaeology. Maybe just one point.
Anthropology.
There's no way I'm going to roll another one after I just rolled one. But I'll. Nope.
I do have history, though.
Does anyone have points in archaeology?
I have history as well, but archaeology.
Okay, well, they just appear to be two very nice pieces of golden stuff to you. So these are the type of items that he claims his grandfather saw in the tunnels beneath this pyramid in near Puno, near Lake Titicaca. Psychology rolls.
That I got.
I made it.
I did not.
I did for once.
He is not being completely honest. Doesn't seem to be a total lie, but something about what he's saying is not totally true.
So he doesn't seem to be as honest about where or how he got the items?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Fishy orange.
Meanwhile, Gus thinks they're awful pretty.
So, are there any questions you have about our expedition?
How far away is it?
We will need to take trucks for 3 days. I've already arranged for the trucks. Any supplies you need, you can purchase, and I will reimburse you with the proper receipts, of course. Then, once we get to Puno, the journey will be 4 days through the wilderness, and then we will need to take pack animals. Mr. Hughes says, when will did you think we would be leaving on this expedition? He says, Monday the 21st. Today is Friday. I think I forgot to say. So you have the weekend to enjoy Puno. I mean, Lima. We're not in Puno yet. Lima. Any other questions?
What will we specifically be assisting with?
It's obviously not just laying out in the open. We will have to enter the pyramid. There may be some climbing. There may be some lifting of heavy objects. And there could possibly be wild animals, jaguars and bears in the woods. So.
About how long do you expect this little jaunt in the jungle to take?
After we get there, we should be able to get everything in 2 or 3 days.
Were we the only people who applied?
No. You were chosen specifically for your skill sets. There were several applicants. Psychology role.
Oh, right on the nose.
Got one.
I didn't make it.
20. 43.
Something's not truthful about that. Also, anyone have medicine?
No.
The doctor left.
Yeah, the doctor is late getting to Lima.
Nope.
So something about that is, he's not telling the truth about that either.
I look over at Gus, kind of like, yeah. Do this number, you know, like I'm smelling and wrinkling my nose.
He kind of leans forward and coughs a little bit. I'm sorry, but I am very tired. If you have no more questions, I'm going to retire to my hotel. Please feel free to stay and drink. So he gets up and leaves. De Mendoza shoots one more look at Jesse Hughes. And, they leave. And Hughes says, shall we go to the bar and have a drink? I think perhaps we have some things to discuss.
Yeah. Sure, Jesse.
Perhaps
sure.
We do, Mr. Hughes.
Wait, am I going to the bar?
Yeah, he's inviting all of you. Well, first of all, I think that you gentlemen may know that I did not give him my real name.
We have our suspicions. Yes.
So you know who I am.
We do indeed.
Obviously, I couldn't have him aware of my background, that I write books related to cults. So that's why I used a false. That's why I used a false name. I have been here for a few months, actually. I didn't just come here in response to the telegram. Let me ask you, how much do you believe about what Mr. Larkin said?
On how he found it. Let me see if I can do my Jersey accent. Yeah, he didn't seem so truthful about how he arrived at the possession of those items. I'm wondering if maybe he might have taken them from somebody they belonged to already.
I think that those objects have nothing to do with the pyramid.
Really?
They're just lures.
Hmm.
And I have to say, I believe that he may be leading you into danger.
Leading us into danger? Aren't you going to?
Well, yes, us. Into danger. Do you know the nature of my books?
Well, I've read a few of them. You're a great writer.
Then you know that I deal with cults. I believe there may be a cult operating in this area, specifically in the area of this pyramid. Why do you think he would, under false pretenses, want to take people to an area where a cult is operating?
I suppose we'd be like human sacrifices or something.
That could be it, yes.
Yeah, or it could also be that he's telling the truth and the simplest explanation is accurate.
He looks at you.
Keep in mind that Gus did not make the psychology role to tell them he was lying. So,
right.
I suppose he could be right about that one, too.
Well, if you would like to learn some more about what's going on in this area, perhaps we should talk to Professor Nemesio Sanchez of the National University of San Marcos. He has asked Mr. Larkin numerous times to join this expedition, has been turned down every time. If you were going on an archaeological expedition, would you not want to take the foremost expert in archaeology from that area on the expedition?
That would follow, yes.
Well, something doesn't smell right about this to me, so yeah, and I'd like to meet him. Be good to interview him.
There's one more minor...
I've got my notepad out, taking my notes and everything.
One more minor little topic to discuss, perhaps. What do you all know of vampires?
Well, I know they're pretty good in the pulps, but...
Yeah, they make for a good story.
Well, some people say they don't exist.
We call those people right.
Of course they don't exist. However, there is a legend in this area of a being called a Karasiri, which is a vampiric monster from folklore that sucks the fat from people.
He wouldn't get much off of me.
Of course, monsters don't exist, and it's ridiculous. Perhaps when the Spanish came here, they brought some of, like, the European belief in vampires, and somehow it got mixed in with local beliefs, and they invented these Karasiri, but the locals believe that this pyramid is a breeding ground for the Karasiri, and that's why he was not able to get locals to go on this expedition, and he sought people from other places.
Well, it could be that he had to, if he did mislead us to get us here, that could be why, simply because, look, I'm not terribly worried about bloodsuckers from beyond the grave, but if the local population is too superstitious, that might make sense, although I do wish he'd been more forthcoming.
Of course vampires do not exist, but I believe this may be a cover for a cult. They may be murdering people and making it appear that they are victims of these Karasiri.
And gosh, you never know what these primitive religions think and do, man. They could be doing some crazy stuff out there. It might not be real, but they'd still be doing some crazy things. And let me tell you, bloodsuckers from beyond the grave, title of my next article. That's great.
That's a freebie, Pat. That's a freebie. But yeah, it does seem like Augustus could very well be, especially since he wasn't all that truthful with us. Seems like he could be exploiting the local superstitions.
I'd be using these poor bastards.
So, now that I've given you this information...
Or maybe he's exploiting the local legends to keep people away from something that he's got going on himself.
No, I have spoken to the locals, and they are quite terrified of this pyramid, and they believe that the Karasiri are real. Of course...
What do you guys say we go talk to this Professor
Sanchez.
Sanchez.
Yeah, let's go speak to Professor Sanchez and see maybe how many more gold relics there could be in this pyramid and whether Mr. Augustus is trying to spirit them away.
Shall we meet tomorrow around lunchtime to journey to the university?
Okey-dokey.
And I take it that my, what I've told you here has not scared you off of the mission, as it were.
No, based on what I've seen, I'm not worried about it.
I mean, I'm here and I haven't even spilled my milk.
All right. So you can go check into the Hotel Mari, which there's actually a picture of the Hotel Mari.
Beautiful.
Yeah. We're moving up.
Sure beats the flat.
It does.
All right, anything you want to do before you meet with Mr. Oh, and the last thing he would say before leaving for the night, if you wouldn't mind, please continue to call me Jesse Hughes in front of Mr. Larkin. So anything you want to do overnight or the next morning before you meet him to go to the university?
breakfast.
Breakfast.
Second other breakfast. Do you want to, like, talk to any locals?
We couldn't really.
Yeah, you guys have heard her already speaking Spanish very well to the bartender. So.
If you want to talk to the locals, I think we would go with you.
Certainly.
Company.
We've got a little bit of time to kill before we're supposed to meet up with Jesse.
So you're just going to walk up to a person on the street?
Well, I think that's a bad idea. I don't know how to meet people, well, but I can speak their language.
Is there like a bar in the hotel?
If there was a restaurant.
There's a restaurant and a bar in the hotel.
Yes. Well, then whenever we had breakfast, we could try to chat up our server or whatever.
Una vez para persona.
You're going to need to speak English for me. Right this way. You're seated. They give you the menu. You order your food.
I talk to my waiter.
Okay, what are you saying?
So are you from, like, around here? In Spanish?
Give me a charm roll.
Zero, zero?
Roll okay, yeah, that's under 10. Yeah. Roll the other one.
Yeah.
Roll it again.
Okay, six. A six.
06. What is your charm?
I don't know.
It's a skill.
Oh, is it?
Anything less than 15%.
15%.
So you made it.
Charmed him.
Oh, yes, I live, she gives you the name of the street. I live here, yes. You are from out of town?
See.
Why am I talking like that? She's speaking Spanish. She would speak perfectly.
We're from America.
Ah, we get tourists here occasionally. Are you here to see the sights?
It's a beautiful place you have.
It is indeed.
Is there anywhere, like, we should avoid? I want to be safe because we're not local.
I would not go into the jungle alone, though. No, that's, you know, jaguars and bears, dangerous.
Do they do guided tours? Do they ever take anybody in there?
In the jungle? No, not to the jungle.
So it's just the jungle that we should avoid? Everywhere that, you know, has buildings and stuff, it's okay?
Sure, as long as you stay in the area of Lima, yes, everything is fine.
Is there anything that you guys want me to ask her?
Tell him that I'm a writer, and I'm writing about local legends. If he knows anyone who could tell us about local legends, writing a book on local legends.
So, these two are writing a book on local legends. Do you know anybody we can talk to about that? Or do you guys have any that you know of?
Yeah, luck roll. Roll under your luck.
30. Where's my luck?
It's on that running chart.
Oh, big one? I don't know.
You don't know what your luck is?
Nope.
You didn't write it down?
Nope. No, I did not write it down.
I guess you need to roll what your luck is right now. Roll 3d6. So your luck is 50. So circle 50 on your luck.
There we go.
Okay, so I got a 30 and my luck is 50.
What type of legends? Like local heroes, mythology? What type of things are you interested in?
Anything kind of spooky or mythological.
Supernatural.
Anything out of the norm. Anything.
She looks around and she looks a little uncomfortable.
Oh, I didn't mean to make you uncomfortable. If you don't want to say anything, that's okay. Do you know somebody who might?
Yeah, she gives you the name of the professor at the university. he is a local expert in folklore and legends, yes.
Okay.
Gracias, señorita. I appreciate you.
At least we've confirmed that. We're going to see the right guy.
That's true. That shores up what
Mr. Hughes.
What Mr. Hughes was saying.
Mr. Hughes.
All right. Anything else before you head out to the university?
Is he supposed to meet us here at noon, or are we supposed to meet him at the university at noon?
No, he's going at the hotel, and you're going to go to the university.
Is he paying for lunch this time around, or do I?
Oh, they said we were going to eat lunch. Yeah, we're going there.
You keep your receipts and give them to Mr. Lark. So this is not on that. It's on here. That is the universe.
Let's just hope the American dollar, because we're broke.
Right. That is the university.
That's pretty. Oh,
gorgeous.
It's a, of course, ignore the modern buildings in the back, because they wouldn't have been there in the 20s.
They were ignored.
The university is the, this is Mr. Hughes talking. The university is, this university is actually the oldest one in the Americas, built in 1551. Museum was only opened in 1919. It's housed in a long two-story stone building, painted dark yellow, fronted by University Park. Professor Sanchez has a office on the ground floor. It is an airy, tall ceiling room with white walls and shelves filled with books and artifacts. A large hardwood desk dominates the room, piled high with papers, books, and journals. He keeps the window open on summery days to air the room. And when you enter, he stands and says, "Welcome, Mr. Jackson, and you brought friends with you. Welcome, welcome, come in."
Hola, hola.
And he's speaking Spanish, so.
Me llamo Virginia.
Nice to meet you, Virginia. And the gentleman?
Él es Hampton Pep.
I can speak a little bit of English, so.
Okay,
enough
okay.
to communicate with them as well.
And this is...
Gus is visibly relieved.
Gus.
When he learns the professor speaks a little English.
And this is Gus.
So, how can I help you today?
Well, Mr. Hughes here was telling us you might be able to give us a little information about the man leading this expedition and some of the things we might expect on what's happening.
You mean Larkin?
Correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He says the word Haqueros and then spits on the ground. And that is not Spanish, so you don't know what he just said.
Well, you know, usually it's not a... spitting on the ground is not
yeah.
a positive.
Yeah. So tell us what you know about this gentleman and how we could... you know, how we could, what would help us?
I believe he intends to rob the pyramid of our national treasures and take them from the country for monetary gain.
That's what I was thinking. It seemed like he'd come up with a perfect cover story for that.
And Mr. Hughes indicated that he might be, utilizing some old legends and myths to scare off the locals. Could you elaborate on some of that?
Oh, you mean the Karasiri?
Yeah,
that's what he said.
How do you spell that?
K-H-A-R-I-S-I.
Karasiri.
Karasiri is an old legend from the time of the conquistadors. In fact, he pulls out a pocket watch. My assistant is in the storeroom. She's recovering a document that we've translated from a conquistador by the name of Gaspar Figueroa, which may in fact refer to the site in question. She should be back by now. I'm not sure what's taking her so long. But anyway, what other questions do you have about Peruvian history or archaeology?
What can you tell us about, is he aware of the pyramid, the specific pyramid that we're talking about?
I have not been there. Mr. Larkin, again, he looks at his watch and shakes his head. Mr. Larkin claims to have found the pyramid, but he will not, of course, tell me where it is.
What?
That is why my assistant and I wish you would get back up here, hope to find the pyramid before he gets there.
What can you tell us about the pyramid in terms of local history or even legend, hearsay? Did anything stick out?
Is it like Mayan or
Well, of course,
Aztec?
No one knows where it is. We don't know exactly who built it. But there is a legend. No, that's wrong. He does not know about any legends.
So at this point, we could even say it's a fabled pyramid if nobody's ever
Yes, no one knows where it is. No one knows who built it.
You said your assistant's working on a document?
My assistant, Senorita Trinidad Rizzo. She is been in the. I thought she would come right back up, but apparently she got distracted by something.
And what did you say she's trying to translate?
Oh, it's a document that was written by a conquistador by the name of Gaspar Figueroa, and I believe it may refer to the pyramid that you're speaking of.
Okay. Well, do you think we could go talk to her if she's translating that so we can find out a little bit more?
Absolutely. She is in the storeroom, which is actually right under this office, and he tells you the directions how to get there. So is everyone going or is anyone staying here?
I'll stay and talk to the professor. If Pep, I don't know what Virginia wants to do.
I'll go with him just in case she can't speak English.
Okay.
So I'm guessing I'm staying in the professor's office
with the professor.
With Jack, Mr. Hughes slash Elias.
Yeah. All right. The storeroom is almost directly under Sanchez's office. It's accessed via a staircase in a long, dimly lit corridor. The basement of the university is quiet at the weekends, and you do not see or hear anyone else moving around. The door to the storeroom is ajar. The storeroom itself is cavernous, an oblong, 80 feet long by 45 feet wide, filled with evenly spaced rows of floor-to-ceiling shelves. Most of the shelves are packed with crates, boxes, and bags, containing a huge variety of artifacts of historical interest. Shelves and containers are all neatly labeled, and basically everything is clean and well-kept. It is lit with electric light here, but due to the nature of the lighting at this time, it does not really cover everything. So there is an area that is lit, and there's a dark area, and there's an area that is lit, and there's another dark area. You do not see or hear anyone when you enter the store.
What was the assistant's
name again? Trinidad Rizos.
Hola, Señor Trinidad. Are you there?
You get no response.
Well, I suppose we should just go in.
Yeah, that sounds all right to me.
Listen rolls.
We're going to die. 0. Do I roll again? I roll twice.
What is your listen number? Hey, you do need to roll it again because you might get an extreme or whatever.
Where is listen at?
It's in alphabetical order.
Score.
Oh, 20.
It'd
be 20. So.
You got a 1.
You got a 1?
I'm super good at listening. I hear everything.
I don't hear anything. I'm listening to my own breathing.
You hear something back out in the hallway where you just came in and from the opposite direction, like footsteps going away.
Oh, there's somebody leaving behind us. Maybe that's her. She's going back up to the office.
Yeah, let's go check.
Okay.
All right. Are you walking back to
the
office?
Fast walk.
Yeah, we walk fast. We want
to
catch up with it. Catch up to her.
But in a non-threatening way.
Okay, this is a very long hallway, and this was all the way at the other end of the hallway, so.
Oh.
Okay, so we sprint.
Yeah.
You want to sprint?
Yeah. I can run. I can move pretty quick.
Give me a con roll.
Knew there was a reason.
Oh, Lord. In the office. A con roll.
Do I roll twice?
Yeah, what's your constitution?
50.
And what'd you roll in the first number?
5.
And what's that?
6. I did not make it.
You get to the end of the hallway, there's a door, and you don't see anybody. Seems like they got away, whoever that was.
Humidity. It's the humidity.
It's easier to run when it's colder, you know? The cold makes your muscles work better.
Okay. Something, yeah.
So whoever that was walking is not there anymore.
Well, that's a shame. You reckon she went back up, or?
It could have been her. If she's going back up, she's going back up. Let's go ahead and check on. I'd just check down here to make sure, you know.
Yeah, let's, check the bathroom and stuff, I suppose.
Well, you didn't even go in the storeroom yet.
Oh, I thought we did.
The storeroom is huge. You just opened the door.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Let's go into the rest of the storeroom and check to see if she's there. She might be in the back or under some lights.
Would the stairs they went down to, at the top of the stairs, does that come out? Is that like where Professor Sanchez's office is?
It's near, yeah, his office is at the end.
Okay, well, if I'm in the office, would I hear or see whoever came up the stairs?
Different stairs.
Okay.
This was at the other end of the hall.
Gotcha. Okay.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, we'll just go in there and be all looking right. around You're just moving. To see if we see her.
It's kind of creepy in here because it's light and then dark, and there's shelves of old artifacts on either side.
So I'm jumping from light spot to light spot because I am afraid of the dark.
You turn a corner and you see a pile of rubble. It's like artifacts have been pulled off the shelves and they're in a big pile in the middle of the aisle.
Oofta, would you look at this? Somebody's made a mess.
Spot hidden. Kills me rolling one die to roll percentage.
Is there, do I have two of them?
Yes. Dude,
one of them has zeros at the end of the thing.
Oh, I see. Okay, wait. 62.
What is your spot hidden?
Am I not? Oh, 92. I really failed.
Yeah, I
but not critical.
I didn't see anything.
Okay. Just a pile of rubble. There is a box. Looks odd because everything is like jumbled, but this box is sitting on top of the stuff, the rubble, and it almost looks like someone set it there.
Oh.
The top is off of it as well.
Maybe I could just have a look-see in there.
It's spot hidden. Spot hidden.
Zero.
They're both zeros?
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know how a critical failure on a spot hidden would work, but you don't see anything.
You absolutely
My eyes start burning. My eyes are
burning. Does it look like this rubble fell off of a shelf?
Yes.
Like well, then, you know, I'm immediately worried that, you know, maybe she got buried under this, that this could have collapsed on her.
Okay.
And so I'm looking through, you know, I see the box. I don't even really think about the box because I don't notice stuff. And I pick the box up to move it and make sure nobody's caught under this rubble and hurt.
Give me a strength check.
Strength check. Ah, something I might be able to do. Oh, yes.
Yes, there is a body under the rubble.
Oh, my goodness.
You find a young
lady
that matches the description of Señorita Trinidad, except
she. Is she dead?
Hold on a second. Except, her body appears emaciated, almost mummified. And there's a large disc of torn, bloody flesh on her upper chest. Her shriveled face is frozen in a mask of terror, eyes still wide and staring. Sanity rolls from both of you.
Where is Santa?
So is
it's on
nine?
That running chart above luck. What's your problem?
I don't know if I rolled a 9 or a 6.
Should have a like a dot show where the bottom is. That's a 9. 90. That's a 95.
Oh, it is. Yeah,
yeah
it is
you
a 95.
Failed your sanity roll.
Sanity
is your power. I'm sorry.
Right,
so,
whatever your sanity, your power is.
Whatever your power is, circle down on your sanity chart.
Ah, there we go. That's what I was looking for. That's the mistake I made earlier. There we go. Ah, I made it.
You made yours. You roll a d6, Virginia.
I'm gonna take some cool stuff out of three.
All right, you are momentarily startled by the appearance of Rizzo. And you take 3 points off your sanity. And you also notice, each of you do, that she is holding a piece of paper in her right hand.
Wait, my sanity is the same thing as my power?
Yeah, but now it's 3 less.
Oh, I had my sanity as 45 for some reason, but my power is 65.
Well, now it's 62.
Okay. Good talk.
The box that you lifted felt kind of heavy, spot hidden. Let's see if you saw anything in there.
Oh, yeah. Come on. Oh, no.
Okay. It's filled with, like, straw. So you have the box of straw, the dead lady holding a piece of notebook paper.
Well, I see the paper, and so I'm going to open up her hands and see what she was holding on to so tightly.
All right, it is written in Spanish. Fortunately, you have someone here who can read Spanish. So you want to interpret the Spanish for them.
Is it legit?
That's in English.
Okay. I was going to say, might take me a second, please.
All right.
Okay. Spanish, written by Gaspar
Figueroa.
1543 on vellum. Figueroa, a Spaniard who had traveled to Peru with Francisco Pizarro. According to the text, Figueroa set out to seek his own fortune, allowing Pizarro's assassination in 1541. He was accompanied by Hernando Ruiz, Diego Barrado, Luis de Manzota, and Pedro de Velasco, fellow conquistadors who have served with Pizarro. They have traveled in the southern highlands of the Andes looking for treasure, hoping to make their fortunes before heading back to Spain and retiring in luxury. Hearing rumors of an ancient temple filled with gold, the men set off into the mountains southwest of Lake Titicaca, where they found a pyramid surrounded by a maze-like structure of underground tunnels. The walls of the tunnels were inlaid with intricate gold carvings. The men cried out a large section of the gold, exhausting themselves in the attempt. That night, as they rested, an evil sickness befell Figueroa's companions. In the morning light, they looked gaunt and death-like. Complaining of agonizing hunger, they pursued Figueroa. De Mendenzo caught up with him and started to devour him.
Yeah, read that name again.
De Mendoza. Huh?
It's very important that you pronounce that name correctly.
Okay.
De Mendoza.
De Mendoza.
Yes.
Caught up with him and started to eat him like a human leech. Figueroa shot his friend in the head and fled, pausing only to snatch up as much of the gold as he could carry. Figueroa eventually arrived back in Lima, hoping to get passage home, but he was a little too weakened by his ordeal. Figueroa describes himself as wasted, little more than a walking corpse. I read the final confession as Figueroa's attempt to lift the guilt that his
avarice
had placed upon him. He believed that his fate and his companions was brought about by their desecration of the holy place, and his most reverent wish was that he could go undo the damage he had inflicted. He describes how he can still hear his friends' voices crying out with inhumane hunger, and how in the dark of the night he can hear another voice, ancient and seductive, promising him eternal life if he returns to the temple. The voice told Figueroa how to contact it, but it seems Figueroa was too afraid to ever attempt this. A postscript was written by the priest who performed last rites, states that Figueroa died after completing his final confession. His last words were entreaty to whatever gods were listening to forgive him for his blasphemies.
I'm keeping note.
All right. You guys back on the upstairs, you're sitting around chatting, and you don't really know what's going on downstairs, but Elias, you smell something? And you realize you smell smoke. Sanchez says, I believe we have a fire. Gentlemen, you should probably leave the building. Let me go see if I can take care of this. And he takes off running down the hall.
Gus is going to follow the professor.
Okay.
Man of action, all that.
Do we smell smoke down in the basement?
Not yet. So what are you guys doing?
Well, I'm going to take this piece of paper,
yeah,
put it in my... Because this is 1920s,
hey,
of course I'm wearing a jacket. you know.
I could take a picture of that because I know how to take photographs.
Do you have a camera?
Shut up.
You hold your fingers up to your face and go, so
I'll put that in my pocket. That heavy box, because that box was so heavy, I'm kind of interested in what was in it, just to see what was in that box.
Okay, and what are you doing?
I'm looking in the heavy box that I lifted up. That because you mentioned it looked like it had been set on top of it.
Oh, wait a minute.
I didn't look. Spoilers.
I have a picture out of order here. Where'd I put it? All right, I didn't put it in there at all. Oh, yep, there it is. It was the last one.
I love this. This is, makes me so happy.
What?
All right, this screen. There's a big bar of gold in there.
Oh.
Inlaid with geometric patterns. Squares and rectangles. Oh. There also appears to be a bit of burnt flesh on it right there where that black spot is.
Would you just look at that?
How big is that bar of gold?
It's about 3 feet long, weighs about 25 pounds. It's not very wide.
Hey, hold on for a second. Maybe we should take a look at her hands.
So, yeah.
She has no burn marks on her hands.
Well, yeah, one of them she was grabbing the paper. So, right. So it wouldn't have been in that one. So no burn marks. Okay. Well, you know, I'm gonna. Maybe we need to take this with us. Again, I'm gonna pull up a Minnesota accent. Maybe we need to take this with us upstairs. She keeps doing the Minnesota thing. And, take this upstairs with us and see what's going on. And so I grab the bar up in the box. Since okay. Only 25 pounds.
Yeah,
know,
it's not that heavy.
Pretty strong guy. And we need to go upstairs and tell them what we found down here. You know, I think, you know, dead body and all that.
Oh, yeah. For sure, hey.
So we head up. You want to head upstairs?
Yeah, let's go quickly.
Yeah. And I just am taking the, for research purposes.
Right. I mean, maybe you should not, like, carry that out in the open, but...
Oh, no, I close it back up in the box. You see, like, it's a wooden box like that, so I'm...
You got it in.
All right, Sanchez is running down the hall, so give me a con check.
Oh, I failed it miserably. I got a 97.
All right, you're unable to keep up with him, so he gets out of sight.
So
you come back to the office.
Mm-hmm.
You come up just in time to see them running down the hall, and they stop and look around like they're kind of confused for a moment.
Y'all come back here,
eh? Combining Tennessee and Minnesota there.
Yeah. So long, I keep saying y'all and Reckon and stuff. I'm ashamed of as a northerner. But...
Y'all come back here, eh?
Well, I will stop chasing the professor since I can't keep up with him. If I run into...
Hey, Gus, where are you running to, man? Dude, I can't keep a steady accent.
I'm just going to turn around and go back to Pep and Virginia and see what they've seen.
Okay.
Oh, hey, I found a dead body in the basement.
Wait, what? I thought my report of smelling smoke was a big deal.
It was probably her. No, I don't think he was burned.
You can hear... fire department sirens approaching the building, and smell of smoke is getting a little stronger.
Yeah, maybe we should get out of here.
Yeah. Let's get out of here. I go ahead and take my coat off, you know, and wrap it around this box that I have, you know, just so it's not as obvious.
All right.
I take Scabbers out of my fanny pack and pet him a little bit.
As you're leaving, you pass firemen coming in. You step outside. And there are people from the inside. There's not that many because it's Saturday. But there are a few people who are inside the building, but you do not see Professor Sanchez.
What about Mr. Hughes?
Oh, he was with you.
Right, so he's, okay,
he's still with you.
Okay, good.
Mr. Sanchez did not make it out of the house?
Well, he ran out of his office to find out where the smell of smoke was coming from. So
he might be trapped in the building.
He could be, but we saw the firefighters go in there. Fire crew's going. If anybody can get them, they can.
They're just going to stand by for a little bit?
I'm naturally... I would say, let's get out of here. Let's go back to the hotel and regroup. Wink, nod. Yeah. And I look at Virginia and I tap my jacket.
Yeah, she's probably a little freaked out about this place because she did lose some sanity in there. So
you know,
frantically fretting scabbers.
Right, because she's scabbers needed.
She's had a bit of a fright, and I don't think I want to explain what we saw in that basement to the local authorities.
Well, Gus will ask Mr. Hughes. Is there any reason we need to hang out here, or can we go back to our hotel and?
Well, I'm a little concerned about Professor Sanchez, but perhaps you're right. Maybe we shouldn't stay around here.
We should not interfere.
Yeah, and since Mr. Hughes was there with us, he heard Virginia's statement about what we found in the basement.
Right.
I'm just saying, maybe we don't want to be around here if they discover that. And I'll explain more why when we get further away from here.
Okay. So you head back to the hotel?
Yeah.
And what do you do with the box when you get to the hotel? Are you taking it up to your room?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes, yes. Let's go up to the room and talk.
Okay.
Yeah, Scabbers needs a bath quick anyway.
All right. So you're in the room.
I'm washing my rat in the sink.
If anybody looks at this a little more closely, you will note that it has rough edges, like it was torn out of something.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you that Mixidor has torn that out, Lee. Out of the temple.
You've opened the box up and...
It was open.
Is Jesse still with us?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
This is
he stopped at the bar and grabbed a bottle of whiskey, so...
That's a good call. Well, as soon as Gus sees this thing, he's like...
Well, before I show them that, before I open this up, I explain to them what the body looked like that we saw.
Okay, so we were hearing about this...
And I say to Gus, I couldn't write anything that good, okay? You know how I write, man. I'm learning. I'm still learning. I'm in my 40s. I still don't write that good yet, okay? But you got to understand, this body looked like a mummy, mummified, but it's the same woman. Chest torn open and had the scrap of paper in her hand that he said she was working on. So something weird's going on here, man. I don't know what it is. And then we found this, and I opened that up.
Yeah. I know it, right? It's crazy.
Of course, immediately I'm thinking, maybe we should just catch the next boat back to the Big Island.
I'm actually thinking the same thing, too, you know.
Dead bodies.
I don't know. I think we could totally use this.
Yeah. I think we could use it at Pond Street up on 42nd Street.
No, I mean, like, look at it. It's got, like, burnt human flesh on it. Like
that'll come right off. They will melt it down and not care about that. Says the guy with the 25 credit rating.
And the guy with the 10 credit rating nods in agreement. But darn it, there's that old conscience kicking in. Is that the right thing to do? Come on, Gus. You know how to take care of people.
Raggy,
we
gotta get to the end of this mystery.
Well, and then, conscience starts kicking in. You start thinking about Professor Sanchez's assistant.
Yeah. Gotta avenge that poor young girl. Whatever did this to her.
At least find out who's behind it. Maybe.
You've lived in New York long enough. You know what we do to folks that treat a woman that way. I'm a man with a certain set of skills.
Well, does these markings that are on this enormous, heavy...
Actually, it's not enormous. It's just...
Well, 3 feet long,
it's
right?
It's long, but it's narrow. It's like
as far as gold
kind of like a
goes,
piece of chair rail, kind of that size.
As far as gold goes, it's certainly the largest piece of gold I've ever seen in my
definitely
life.
Definitely would be worth
ever,
a lot of money.
Ever. So,
yeah.
These markings that are on it, they're arranged in such a way that... They're not random, it doesn't seem like.
No. Does Jesse have any idea? Can he know anything about it?
Could be some sort of ward.
Hmm.
Since it came out of, well, since it came out of the university, would history skill help in any way? It doesn't look like it.
I have.
You can do a history roll.
Oh, right.
You'll allow it, I'll do it.
Can I do an occult roll?
Yeah.
Oh, I can use both of those.
38. I made my occult roll.
Yeah, you agree that this could be something that somebody put up to keep something out or in.
I made my history roll with a 31. 55 is my score.
This is not Incan or Mayan or anything else that would be in this area.
I made my occult roll and also got my half, too, on that as well. So my occult is a 36. I rolled an 18.
You got a hard success.
I got a hard success.
You also think that it's a ward. Also, you kind of put together that was removed about the same time that the Legend of the Kara series started.
Oh, hey guys, I'm thinking that this was removed about the same time that story you read me occurred, that when that legend started.
So it's been removed recently.
No, the Legend of the Kara series started in the
16-something.
In 1500s,
the resurgence of it recently.
In 1543.
Okay.
That's when the letter was written. So,
well, it doesn't look like it belongs to any sort of Aztec or Incan.
What about an anthropology role?
Go for it. I believe that one is an 8 instead of a 10.
What?
One die you roll is an 8.
This one, that's a
12. It's right beside your unicorn.
Here, just roll that one. Use the one on the outside.
Okay, I got it. Made it.
Yeah, you agree. It's not any of the cultures that you know of in this area.
Okay, what about the cultures that I know out of this area?
None of them.
This gives me both.
So it's ancient.
That's cute.
And mysterious. And with bits of charred flesh on.
The charred flesh.
Yeah, that's probably
fresh. Give me a spot hidden.
Oh. I got it. 29.
Yeah, that is fresh.
I dare you to touch it.
Pull out a pencil. Yes, kind of.
Well, you're pretty close to it now, and you do not feel any heat coming off of it. The straw in there is not burning, so apparently it's not hot.
Bet you it only burns flesh. Yeah.
Not if I don't know what kind of flesh it is.
I mean, Skybros would touch it, but I like him.
You're going to put your rat on it.
So wait a minute. This piece was crated up and sealed and put in the university storeroom. And it, by all appearances, seems like it was torn from wherever it came from centuries ago. But it has fresh, burned flesh on it while in the storeroom?
What if it's cursed? I think it totally could be
cursed. I think it's some sort of ward. What if this creature's for real, and it touched it, and it burned it?
What if the assistant was one of those vampire-sucking things, and then she touched it, and it was like, no vampires, and then she melted?
Yeah, what it sounds like, maybe, guys, I think you're leaping to some conclusions here. It seems like maybe Professor Sanchez's assistant, who befell some sort of horrible accident, it sounds like, based on your description.
Yeah, you didn't see the body.
Yeah. Maybe it just came from her because he did smell smoke. I don't know.
Oh, and so she put it back in the box and placed it on top of her body as she's covered in a pile of rubble.
Yeah. Listen.
So she so she puts it on top of herself and crawls under the pile of rubble, tears a hole in her own chest, and mummifies her own body.
Well, that's it, Pat. That's exactly what happened.
Didn't she have something in her chest? There wasn't just a hole.
It was a hole. No, it was just a hole.
Oh, I thought it was a hole filled with something.
Mm-mm. The flesh was torn away in a circle about 8 inches in diameter.
Was her heart missing?
You couldn't see in there. It didn't go in that far.
Oh.
Gus is not believing his compatriots here. He's just thinking.
I don't blame you. I wouldn't believe him either.
Yeah.
Of course.
Went in the storeroom at a university and came out talking about fiery vampires.
Jackson Elias is a skeptic, so he's kind of not—he's kind of not going for it either.
I didn't talk about vampires. I'm just telling you, something was down there. Something killed this lady, and something burned its hand on this. And that lady's hands were not burnt. She checked her hands herself while we were down there.
Pip, how heavy do you think this piece of gold is?
About 25 pounds.
About 25 pounds. So, most gold we've ever seen in our lives, that's even when we're just staring in the window at a pawn shop, it's maybe a couple ounces, right?
Yeah.
So, you're not saying that somebody in an impoverished nation might not kill someone for 25 pounds of gold?
Oh, I'm sure they would.
Come on,
but
guys.
Why didn't they take it?
Because you scared them off when you went downstairs.
Dude.
I mean, we did hear those footsteps going away from...
Now, see, you're starting to think. All right?
You're such a Debbie Downer.
Keep my feet on the ground here. That seems to help.
Yeah. So who burnt it? So they somehow burnt their hand on it. Okay, I'll
something
give you that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Maybe it's a ward against stealing.
More spells and stuff.
Yeah. Jackson Elias is not buying all of this hocus pocus either.
It's all right. You don't have to buy it. All I know is there's a dead body. We could get blamed for that dead body. And I took the gold.
Well,
and I'm not letting go of the gold.
I think maybe what we should do, and Gus stares for a moment rather hard at Jesse, a.k.a. Jackson, says maybe what we should do is if we need to talk to the local authorities regarding the dead body you saw, that'd be all well and good. But I don't think anyone would object, he stares at Jesse again, if we happen to box this artifact up here, especially if the professor thinks that Larkin's just trying to steal them all. Maybe it's better if we keep it in our room for safekeeping. You know what I'm saying?
Fast talk.
Put points in that for a reason. Not enough. I failed.
Don't you think they might come here looking for it?
You can hide it. And he starts looking around the room trying to see if there's a place to hide it.
What would make them come and look for it?
Perhaps
it could have just been burnt up in that fire.
Perhaps people saw us at the university. I don't believe the entire building burned down.
Yeah. We could go make sure
and Professor Sanchez will mention that we were there. And he may also mention that we were down there with his assistant. So we could possibly, at least we could get blamed for her death.
Well, I think you should tell the local authorities then what you saw down there. Pip, I don't think I'd mention this piece of gold.
Oh, I'm not mentioning this piece of gold to anybody. I would say that our safest bet would either be to get out of the country or to go with this guy on this expedition and get out of town. Those are our two best choices.
You want to see if you can fast talk Jackson Elias into going along with your plan here?
Fast talk. Oh, Lord.
Yeah, if you don't put points in it, it's hard. Should have put more.
Oh, no.
I'm trying to think of what he would do. All right. We can store this. I don't think we should put it in either of your rooms. but store it somewhere where we can find it, and it's out of sight.
Okie dokie, I trust you, babe.
I think that's a good idea, really. I don't like the idea of keeping it in my room anyway. Somebody might come after it.
But that's just so everybody's, like, aware, like, as soon as we know that the artifacts are safe, we're giving them back to the country.
Sure, yeah, sure, sure, absolutely, sure. Absolutely. Certainly.
See why not.
All right, good deal. Hey, I'm so glad we're all on the same page.
Absolutely.
All right, it is now Saturday afternoon. Jackson Elias has hidden the gold somewhere in the hotel, according to him. So, what are you doing now? You're not leaving until Monday morning, so you have...
I want to get a camera. Take me to the
camera
store.
Late Saturday, and then tomorrow is Sunday, so might be a little difficult.
Yeah.
I didn't think this through.
I'm going to go to the telegraph office and send an update back to the paper.
Okay.
Gus is going to go down to the bar and order a Boilermaker and ask the bartender, provided the same bartender they saw the previous night who spoke some English.
Yes.
For an update on what's going on at the university. He's going to kind of play dumb. But he heard the fire brigade.
Let's see if he knows. There was a small fire. I believe a trash can caught on fire, something like that. Nothing major. There was a lot of smoke, but no damage.
I knew that's a university, and you know, there's a lot of books and stuff. I was hoping it didn't cause a lot of damage.
No. Someone playing a prank, I think.
Gus is putting it together that the prank, the smoke that Professor Sanchez smelled, was right about the same time that Beth and Virginia came upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
And they found a dead body. But yeah, okay, so then he asks the bartender. He slams back the rest of his beer and he says, "So can you tell me where the telegraph office is?"
Yeah, he tells you what street it's on. All right, it's not very far away.
Gus goes to catch up to Pep with this update.
The hotel does have a phone. Not in each room, but there's one for the whole hotel if you need to call somebody.
Well, I'm catching up with Last Jaw Peppin over there.
Hey, what's up?
So, yeah, it turns out that fire at the university, the bartender just said it was... a small trash can fire, a lot of smoke, but not much. Which happened about the same time you and Miss Welch were in the storeroom stumbling over your mummified dead body.
Maybe somebody was trying to get us out of there to do a little robbing.
Could be a coincidence, or it could have been a distraction.
Sounds like it to me. Somebody tried to cover up what they're doing.
Or we could just be overthinking it. Somebody might have thrown a burning butt in a wastebasket.
That's possible, too. But I think somebody, you know, whether it's something spooky or not, somebody's wanting to, you know, get out of there for that girl. You know, that poor little girl, she's all dead now.
Yeah, look, Pat. That's a lot of gold. And that was in one box in a room that you said was huge.
Yeah.
There's no telling how much stuff is down there. And look, you know as well as I do that back home, somebody stick you in the eye for 25 pounds of gold. There's no telling what they do down here for you.
It's true, man.
Gus is still convinced that it's just straight up robbery.
Hey, whether it's some spooky critter or not, spooky critters want their money too. You know what I'm saying?
Gus shakes his head a little bit.
Hey, I guess. They gotta make a living, I'm sure.
They're dead. They don't have to make a living, Beth.
Oh, so you're saying they exist now?
Oh, I need another Boilermaker.
I'm just saying, if there was some spooky critter living around for hundreds of years, it would want money too. Because we're all greedy SOBs, you know what I'm saying?
It's sounding like the spookiest critter we were going to meet on this trip.
Yeah.
Mr. Lark.
Wow.
So anyway,
he did look a little creepy.
Send your telegraph. Let the people back in the paper know what's going on.
Well, the telegraph I'm sending is just going to be brief updates. we've arrived, we've met, interesting things.
Not that we found a dead mummified girl.
No, right. No,
we got 25 pounds of gold.
Nothing incriminating.
We got 25 pounds of gold and a dead body.
Yeah.
Don't know which one's more exciting.
I do.
Yeah, 25 pounds of gold. Dead bodies are a dime a dozen.
All right, anything else Saturday night?
I was hoping you'd still find the camera.
Probably not on Saturday night or Sunday.
Is it like 1920s Wall Art open?
No.
In Lima, Peru? Yeah, definitely, right?
Give me a credit rating. If you can make a credit rating roll, you could find a camera in some store on Sunday.
You could ask somebody at the hotel.
Did it make it? I hate myself. It wasn't even on the thing, I don't think.
Maybe Monday morning you could go early.
And now please realize, you know what a camera was like in the 1920s.
Yeah.
I mean, that dead body was going to be pretty still.
Yeah, but even a brownie would be, you know.
Yeah, and do you know how long it would take to develop the film?
I mean, that's like a later problem.
Okay.
All right. Do we want to do anything else on Sunday? Larkin and De Mendoza are nowhere to be found unless you go looking for them on Sunday. So.
De Mendoza.
Eat, drink, rest. I'm not guessing we're going to hear anything else about the goings on at the. Hey, speaking of, maybe we should ask. You think we could ferret some information out of somebody about your dead body in the storeroom?
What are we going to say? Hey, senorita, have you seen dead body in Baltimore University?
It's you know, any town, any city's got people in it. People talk. So, if we know it was there, maybe the rumor mill started flying around about it. Especially if they've got their local legends about vampire mummies in tombs and towers and whatever. You know, people talk about anything. Trust me, that's how we make our living. They talk about anything.
You do definitely have a point.
Well, that settles it for Gus. He says, I'm going back to the bar.
Anything is this Sunday during the day?
Well, I don't know if it will be open in Lima, Peru or
maybe
not.
In Peru, probably. It might be. They are probably not
Service
so...
Service up for everyone!
Or the restaurant. They would have lunch.
Yeah, right? They would definitely be in the restaurant.
Well, in that case...
What was De Mendoza's first name?
Luis.
Day. You know, it's interesting in that story you read that this conquistador's name is the same as one of the people on our expedition.
It's a pretty common name.
How many Luises do you know?
I don't know a lot of Luises, but I know a lot of Louis back home.
Okay. How many De Mendozas do you know?
I don't know, but I'm sure if I was in Peru for very long, I'd
know. So a common name after a... let's ask... Well, too bad we don't know where the professor is. Ask him how common a name that is. Or maybe he's just playing it. I'll go along with you. Maybe he's just playing into the myth of it. Maybe he's playing into the myth of it. If that's the way you want to look at it. But if he's playing into it, then what's he up to and what's he doing? What's the word I'm looking for? What's his shtick? What's he getting out of all this?
Pep's paranoia has—he's not won Gus over to his line of logic here. But dead body, smoky fire set as a possible distraction. 25 pounds of gold torn out of somewhere. Gus is going to start. He's before he leaves the hotel. For the rest of the day, he's going to strap on his pistol. Start carrying that with him.
I carry brass knuckles in my fanny pack with scabbers. I'm not even worried.
Yeah, that should handle any problem. All right, what are you doing on Sunday? Anything?
I guess we're going to...
With all of this going on, and me believing in a little of the freaky stuff here, well, I'm not a religious guy. I think I'm going to you know, it never hurts to say a few Hail Marys. You know what I'm saying? So I know my friend Gus here won't like this, but I'm going to go to the first mass I can find.
Right.
And hopefully, this is pre-Vatican II, so they're still going to be doing it in Latin. I'll know what they're saying.
It's a predominantly Catholic nation, and I'm sure the churches will be prominent and easy to find. So you find
I'm from
one.
New Jersey, lived in New York. Catholic's pretty common around here.
Gus claps Pep on the shoulder and says, have fun with your spells and seances there, bud. I'm going to go grab a bite to eat and see if I can talk to, you know, people.
Well, I'm
going to
go eat something, too. I'm going to go eat a little body of Christ.
Yeah, I'm going to go eat me a steak and talk to some people here on Earth and see if they have any information.
All right, so he's going to Mass. He's going to eat. What are you doing, Virginia?
Me and Scabbers are just going to, you know, hang out, look at the jungle, walk along
well,
the edge
the city,
of it.
You're in the city, so... not really going to see any jungle.
We're going to walk to the jungle and walk along the edge of the jungle.
That's going to be a pretty good walk.
Oh, I didn't realize how far into this. I didn't think it was that big of a city.
Yeah, it's Lima, Peru. It's big.
It's the capital of Peru. Oh. It's been there since the 15th century.
Yeah. I didn't realize that it was the capital.
It's big.
I don't know much about Peru. I speak Spanish.
All right, she's walking around. All right, sir, here's your steak. Anything else I can get for you?
Gus is about to dismiss the server and says, oh, yeah, actually, so have you heard any rumors about what happened yesterday at the university? I heard there was a fire and somebody may have gotten hurt or something.
Oh, very tragic. A young lady died in the fire and the professor was severely injured.
Died in the fire?
Yes.
I thought it was only like a minor fire.
I don't know. I just heard a lady died in a fire and the professor was injured.
Do you know if is the professor going to make it?
I don't know. He's in the hospital. That's what I heard.
Wherever she may be, If no one wants her now, please send her home.